Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 14. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
They were using kid gloves within kid. I just want to go on record as saying kids don't need kid gloves. They need a spanking now and again. They need to be reminded that there is a consequence to bad behavior. If they don't know it, they cannot grow up with a balanced outlook on life. The Bible is very clear when it talks about the problem that we might see in this scenario. It's in the book of Isaiah in chapter 3. The Bible tells us, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and their women rule over them." That's in Isaiah chapter 3. Now, why I say it is because here's a young boy who's oppressive to his parents. Now, they've done the best they can. They didn't have Dr. James Dobson writing books about the strong-willed child. They didn't have the influence of radio broadcasts telling you how to be a better dad or, you know, a better mom. They just were navigating by the seat of their pants in a compromised world. Now, you know, these people from last chapter were from the tribe of Dan, which means they should be way up north. These guys are still in their homeland, though they never fully conquered that. So 4 miles away, we have the Philistines down here in the southwestern edge of the nation. And they're going back and forth. There's trading going on. And that means there's not a lot of separation between the peoples. God told his people to be a peculiar people, to be separate, to not intermarry with the nation. So they knew this. So this is frustrating for the parents, but they have no control because evidently they have forfeited that control, as we see. "Get her for me," he says it twice, verses 2 and 3. And the Bible says in verse 4, "But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Do you see what that is? You know, I've entitled the message, "Samson Falling Forward." Do you ever feel like that's you? You know, as you go through your Christian life, you know, you go through, you get a moment of momentum, and the next thing you know, you get your legs knocked out from under you, whether it's something you did or something that happened to you or disappointments that came. Well, this is Samson's experience in a large way. But what's interesting about verse 4 is the Bible is telling us, in a sense, that God is looking for an opportunity here. Listen, may not seem like something you would think. He's looking for an opportunity to pick a fight. Now, you say, "Well, that's weird, man. God wants to pick a fight?" Yeah, he does. And you're going to see that when Samson picks a fight, God's going to show up in a mighty way to help him with that fight. Because that's what God was doing. Now, the connection out of the gate I want you to recognize is that God wants you to go out and pick a fight too, but not the kind of fight that Samson did. He wants you to go out and fight against the devil. Those people on the other side of the gates of hell need somebody to go in and fight for them. They need somebody to go in there and rescue them. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We're supposed to be invading the devil's territory. We're supposed to be picking a fight in the most spiritual sense, knowing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places. You and I are in a warfare. The Bible says that we are enlisted by our master. We're not to entangle ourselves in the affairs of this world as a good soldier. And the Bible tells us that we are supposed to strive lawfully. So our striving, our wrestling, all of our battle, well, like Paul said at the end of his tour, he said, "I have fought the good fight." You and I need to remember that when we see these things, this was the nursery in human history. These people didn't have the full-blown understanding of the grace of God. He needed to build that. And just like he didn't give up on Israel, even though they weren't crying out, he was still covering them. And that's your experience and mine as well. There are times when you allow yourself to drift. The Bible talks about, be careful that you let any of these promises drift. You'll drift and you'll find yourself not knowing which way's up. Maybe at one point, I want you to know, if you're God's child, the Bible says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. He that comes to me, I will in no way cast out." And you need to remember that door is kicked open and waiting for you to run home. That is the experience of the believer. And when you see in this passage that this compromised situation is yielding a young man who's a little bit belligerent out of the gate, it is not without cause, and it is what we're seeing in our generation as well. The Bible says, he said unto them, get her for me, and they did not know that it was of the Lord. There are a couple places where you'll see in the Bible where things were of the Lord you might not have anticipated. The Bible says in Joshua, it was of the Lord that those nations didn't back down when he was coming in to conquer the promised land. They hardened their hearts, the Bible says, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly. Okay, so these nations come against Israel in spite of the fact. Listen, you want to know the obstinance of man, the impudence of faith? They have. These people in Canaan at the time had seen Israel wandering around in a wilderness. They knew they had come up to the gate. They knew what happened in the 40 years before when they came out of Egypt. They got the memo by that time. They saw them getting a cloud by day and a fire by night every day of their experience for 40 years. They saw the manna. They saw. So the first thing you ought to do when those people enter into the room is say, what can I do for you? You know, but they didn't. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation. And that's what we're already seeing happen among our citizenry in America. We're forgetting who is in charge. God's in charge. And you and I are existing and enjoying the common grace at his pleasure. And those who do not know Jesus, they walk in slippery places, as sinners in the hands of an angry God was to tell us. Out of the Psalms. 1 Kings chapter 12 says this, wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. This is Rehoboam. Rehoboam's taken Solomon's place. And they were asking Rehoboam to dial down the burdens. And he wouldn't listen. And the Bible says the king hearkened not unto the people. And he got ready to go out and take the people and put them back under bondage and under a tyrannical kind of labor. And the Bible sent a prophet to Rehoboam, and it says, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake unto Ahijah the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. In other words, Jeroboam had been told, you're going to reign over half of Israel. And that's what happened. But the reason it happened was because Rehoboam was obstinate listening to the new generation, dismissing the older generation, saying, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But notice this, it was of the Lord that he split Israel. Why? Because Israel had blown it out of the gate. Solomon had proliferated all kinds of false religion right in Jerusalem. All of the Molech, Baal, all of the Ashtaroth, all of them, they were in the city. Second king of the dynasty. And he was the wisest man who ever lived. How did that happen? Because when he was older, the wives he had turned his heart away from the Lord. And he built them all these temples. And so I say to you that this is not uncommon for God to allow things to come unglued. And you and I are living in a generation, we ought not be surprised if things come unglued. Okay, so just suit up, okay? Put a helmet on, because we're going in. And so it is with these people. 40 years they have not cried out for their help, but God sends help in it nevertheless. And the Bible says in verse 5, it says, then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath. And he came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And this is where the Bible tells us that the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, came mightily. You might circle that word, mightily, because this happens twice in these two chapters. Mightily is something that happens because God is trying to train this man of God. Why? Because he has been given a special gift that would lead to their deliverance. Now, the Bible tells us when the parents were told he would be helping with this Philistine problem, he told them that Samson would begin to deliver them from the Philistines. He wouldn't complete it. So understand, his job is going to be to begin this thing. It's going to be David who brings it full circle. But here we have him mightily being covered by the Holy Spirit. This reminds us of David's training as well. He was a shepherd over the sheep of his father. And when the Philistine came out onto the battlefield and he said, send me out a man. And everybody was cowering and saying, not me, you go. No, not you. No, what are you pointing at me for? Everybody's running from the shadows. Well, what happens is David steps up as a ruddy teenager and he says, I'll go. And Saul says, but you're a youth. He says, yeah, but I've taken on a lion and a bear. And the Lord delivered me. And even as he delivered me from the lion and the bear, he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine to me too. See, his training was in real life. You and I get trained in the little things. You want to know what chastening is? Chastening is God training you in the hard stuff, the little stuff, the scary stuff. You get a little nervous, life goes a little sideways, you lose heart, you want to faint, but suddenly you find in your moments of fainting that God shows up in some way He gives you something you didn't see coming that was good like this. This lion comes out. He rends him in half as if it was no problem at all. Because he was in the zone that the Spirit was working in that time. And that zone was to teach this young man he could fight. And I want you to know something. If you're God's child, you need to know something. You can fight. And you can fight in the power of the Spirit. You can rescue the perishing. You can care for the dying. You can telegraph, as it were, the Word of God in your day-to-day life in little ways. By giving a tract, by loving somebody, by serving somebody, by sitting with somebody who's gone through some hard times. You can be Jesus to people. And you can be a light in a dark place. So remember that. As you go through, these things are written for our admonition and our learning. And the Bible says that he rent this young lion. And in verse 6 it says, and he told not his father or his mother what he had done. You know, it's kind of, I don't know how he felt about it, but it made him a little embarrassed. Whoa, I just broke the lion. Okay, I didn't think about how he felt about that. I broke the lion. And he wasn't sure whether that was okay or not. You know, am I supposed to break the lion? Because here's the caveat. He's not supposed to touch carcasses, but this isn't that. The carcass is not dead until you killed it. Okay, this is different. And there's a lot of people who don't understand the ideas of a military movement, involvement of Christians in military. Well, read Romans 13 and you'll find the answers to those questions. The powers that be are ordained of God. They bear not the sword in vain and so forth. And the Bible tells us that we are under authority. And even when John the Baptist was addressed by the soldiers and asked, you know, what should we do? He said, don't harass anybody and be content with your wages. He didn't say get out of the military. In fact, he even tells the apostles after he's about ready to leave, sell your cloak and buy a sword. It is okay to take care of business when you have to protect your family, hearth, and home. And there's a time for everything. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to find that out as well. So I say to you, he might not have really known, because there was what? There was no real clear word in Israel. All he knew was he was supposed to be keeping himself from things that were unclean. He's going to break that rule here in a minute, but not yet. He did what he had to do. He's going to have a lot of people that are going to be killed at his hands. A lot of the Philistines are going to be killed at his hands. So he's not going to be defiled by that. God's going to use that. And so it is with this lion. But God's training him. God is training him. Verse 7 says, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, this is interesting because basically both of these times that he has gone to Timnath, his parents were with him. It says they went with him when he went down the first time, killed the lion. Evidently, they weren't walking together because they didn't know about this, you know, and that's fine. He's a young man. He can, you know, go flitting around in the trees. And so it seems here because he takes the honey, he enjoys it, and then he gives to them some of it to eat. And we see that again where it says he told them not about this honey in verse 9. And in verse 10 it says, so his father went down unto the woman. Now you pretty much probably understand what's going on here. He said, get her for me. That means there had to be a contract ratified between parents. Arranged marriages. And I suggest to you there's something about that that may be very helpful. You know, it's kind of, if you know, when we pick, sometimes we can't think straight. And we're going to see Samson getting caught up in the nonsense of not being able to think straight because of infatuations and fascinations. But here we have him doing things right. This is why I would suggest you not to forget that even though Samson will ultimately become compromised, this is not that. He's trying to get it right. Dad, go get this girl for me. Yeah, dishonor. Well, it's a messed up society. At least he's hanging out with his parents, you know. And he's also trying to get his dad to make the overtures as things should be decently done. And then it does say, though, he has a little bit of a nervousness about some things because he didn't tell them about the lion and he didn't tell them about the honey.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.